Let's turn in our Bibles for our scripture reading this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been spending an awful lot of time in 1 Corinthians dealing with this issue on spiritual gifts, which we will conclude today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And I'm just going to read two small little verses here this morning. 1 Corinthians, if you're not familiar with your Bible, Matthew, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, and I will start at verse number 12. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read with these two verses. And again, I read out of my NIV translation. And God's word says this: "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, to you be the glory for all things. We just give you thanks for this series that we will be concluding here today, Lord, and for the spiritual gifts that you have put into all of our lives. And Father, as we talk about these things one more time here again today, let us realize the gifts that we have and how we can use them to impact this world and each other, Lord. How we can edify and build each other up. And in doing so, the glory will all be yours. That's what we want to do, Lord. So I ask that you bless the message that I'm about to present, Lord. And may we all walk away here today, Lord, knowing a little bit more. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today, this is our final week in our sermon series on spiritual gifts. Over the past 2 weeks, we were looking at what was going on in regards to the spiritual gift of tongues and tongue speaking in the church at Corinth, which was happening 2,000 years ago, as outlined in the book of 1 Corinthians. We concluded and said that the purpose of the gift of tongues was a sign to unbelievers. The position of the gift of tongues was secondary to prophecy. And the procedure for the gift of tongues was systematic and orderly. So I will ask this question: is what we see and hear today about modern day tongues the same as what was happening in the church at Corinth, what was written here? And the answer to that is no, it is not. Today, is it a sign for unbelieving Jews? No. Today, is it used to edify the body of believers? No. Today, do two or three speak in order and then the tongue is interpreted? No. So what do we see today? What we see today in modern day tongues is now called a private prayer language between the believer and God, and it is used to edify the one who is speaking. It is speaking in an unknown language that connects the Spirit that dwells within the believer with the Father that is in heaven. According to the ScottSandersMinistries.org website, the purpose of a private prayer language, the purpose is twofold. Number one, as the initial sign that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And purpose number two, for personal devotion and to promote spiritual growth. According to the same website, ScottSandersMinistries.org, the benefits for doing a private prayer language are sevenfold, and they are this, the benefits. Number one, when you speak in tongues, you build yourself up spiritually. Number two, speaking in tongues brings rest and spiritual refreshment. Number three, when you speak in tongues, you keep yourself in the love of God. Number four, speaking in tongues purifies and builds up your faith. Number five, speaking in tongues enables you to pray perfectly. Number six, when you speak in tongues, you are speaking the hidden wisdom of God. And number seven, when we pray in tongues, we ask God for interpretation. When we pray in tongues, we ask God for interpretation. He will reveal His will to our mind. These purposes and these benefits reflect the common view of the Pentecostal and charismatic churches around the world, which in 2015 numbered about 650 million people. And this number does not include those in mainline Protestant denomination churches, Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, etc., and non-denominational churches like our own, that also believe that tongues is a private prayer language. Do I agree with this? No, I don't. I don't agree with any of it. So today I'm going to give you 19 reasons, nice round number, 19 reasons why I do not believe in modern day tongues, nor do I believe what we see and hear today is a private prayer language. I'm going to be looking at this in three ways: from a historical point of view, a biblical point of view, and a logical point of view. So let's go through these 19 reasons that I've proposed, and I'll go through them quickly. Reason number one is I teach Reformed theology, and Reformed theology teaches cessationism. We've talked about this time and time again. Cessationism, which is the teaching of the ceasing of the miraculous gifts after the apostolic age around 100 AD, is part of Reformed theology. The miraculous gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, and healings were all signs to validate the messenger and point the unbeliever in the direction of the message. What was the message? The good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we no longer need these signs and wonders. Why? Because today, we have what? The Word of God. Reason number two. A common practice among the Gentile pagans in the first century was ecstatic babbling in unknown languages, which was founded in the pagan mystery religions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus tells his disciples this: "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Reason number three. Between 100 AD and around the year 1900, there is very little, if any, documented instances of tongue speaking, and there is no instances of Christians praying in a private prayer language. But in 1901, there was a man by the name of Charles Parham. He was a Methodist minister, and he wanted to resurrect this long-lost gift of speaking in tongues. He was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit so he could speak in tongues, that it would be a foreign language, that he could take that and do missionary work with it. All his efforts were thwarted. None of them came true. But one of his proteges, a man by the name of William Seymour, took that whole speaking in tongues and started something called the Pentecostal movement with the Azusa Street Revival. It was actually William Seymour who started speaking in tongues as a private prayer language. But it was all started by Charles Parham. And let me just tell you a few things about Charles Parham. Charles Parham believed in annihilation. Do you know what annihilation is from a biblical perspective? Annihilation is a belief that when we die, that's it. Nothing else happens after that. Our body goes into the ground. We have no soul, no heaven, no hell. Sort of the view of the Sadducees. He was also associated with the Ku Klux Klan. He also believed that interracial marriages caused the flood of Noah. And he did not believe black people could be sealed as the bride of Christ. In the summer of 1907, Charles Parham was arrested in San Antonio, Texas, on a charge of sodomy. I believe it's important to know the history of how these things got started. Reason number four, it seems like many in leadership positions within this movement, particularly those that we see on TV, come up very short with other basic theological truths. Couple for instances. When these TV evangelists come and tell me that I can, by faith, bring something into existence because I am a little God, or that God cannot do anything on the face of this earth without our permission through prayer, when they teach these things, I also have to question their theology behind speaking in tongues. Earlier, I said that according to the ScottSandersMinistries.org website, the first purpose of a private prayer language is the initial sign that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My friends, that is bad theology. Every believer has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit the moment that he or she receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, and other places. Reason number five. Some people in the Pentecostal charismatic movement believe that speaking in tongues is necessary for salvation. Now, I must make sure that you've heard that adjective. Some people, certainly not all, but some people believe that one needs to speak in tongues to be saved. For those that believe that, the only salvation I question is their salvation, because they don't understand the great truths about the doctrines of grace or the justification by faith. They also do not believe that spiritual gifts are given to believers as the Holy Spirit determines, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Once again, another example of poor Bible interpretation. Reason number six. The modern day tongue speaker will use Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to support a private prayer language. Now, in their defense, I am going to read that one verse to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is one of their foundational scripture texts for this. And Romans 8, 28 says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Well, the two issues that I immediately have is, it is the Spirit who is doing the interceding, not the person. And if it's words that cannot be expressed, then why are people speaking? Personally, this is just me, I'm saying this, if I don't know what to pray for, and if I cannot put my needs into words, I am quite comfortable that the Spirit that resides within me can intercede with the Father above in inter-Trinitarian expressions without me getting in the way. Reason number seven, the Bible quite often commands us to pray. Philippians 4:6 tells us to pray in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually. 1 Timothy 2:1 tells us to pray for all people. In these three verses and in many others, I'm never told to pray in a private prayer language. Reason number eight, if a private prayer language is self-edifying, as they say, and is used to build one up, it would seem to me that it should be found in more books of the New Testament than in just one chapter of one book. But it's not. Reason number nine. If a private prayer language is so powerful and effective, then why don't we all do it? Well, the only way that we could all do it is if tongues was not a spiritual gift. But tongues is a spiritual gift. So apparently, many people, like myself, will never be able to experience the power of a private prayer language because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30 clearly states that not everybody speaks in a tongue. Reason number 10, a quick story. I'll tell you a story about Peggy. I make it a point over in the building where I work to introduce myself to everybody that I see. There was a new lady started working there several months ago, probably around Christmas time, and her name is Peggy. Upon conversation, I found out that Peggy is a Christian, which is a good thing. I'm glad she's a Christian. But in one of our conversations, she had just moved here from Virginia Beach, and she was looking for a new church. And as we're talking, she says, I'm looking for a church that speaks in tongues because I am a spirit-filled Christian, and I speak in tongues. Now, this is just one example of one person. And as she was speaking, I could see the puffing up starting, and the feathers starting to whoo, whoo, whoo. Now, not everybody does this. Granted, I guarantee not everybody does this. But this gift can easily puff one up with pride, as it does Peggy. And we all know that pride is not part of the Christian walk. Story number two. I got saved in 1994 over at a Bible study where I worked over at Genicom. And my sister Denise, who is 2 years older than me, got saved in a Pentecostal church at exactly the same time. We start talking with each other over the phone about our newfound salvation, and shortly afterwards, we all headed to Pittsburgh for a family reunion. We start talking about, we were more concerned about this Christianity that we found versus the family reunion. During the midst of that conversation, my sister asked me, Mike, do you speak in tongues? At which I answered, no, I don't. At which she asked, would you like to learn? Tongues cannot be earned. Spiritual gifts cannot be earned. They cannot be learned. They cannot be taught, and they cannot be bought. Why? Because they are gifts. They're gifts. But this is not unusual for those who advocate a private prayer language. To them, this language can be taught to others. But unfortunately, that once again does not add up with 1 Corinthians 12:11, which says the Spirit distributes the gifts as he determines. Reason number 12, you can find countless websites and countless YouTube videos of people who will teach you how to speak in a private prayer language. I sat through many of painless hours watching these things. One YouTube video is actually titled, How to Speak in Tongues Like a Pro. Yes, I watched it. I also watched Reverend Sonia, and she will step you through why you need to speak in tongues and exactly how to do it. Reason number 13, my third and last story today. In 1999, I was looking for another church to attend. The church that I was attending just wasn't meeting my spiritual needs at the time. My neighbor across the street from me invited me to go with him to his church, at which I graciously accepted. He went to a church in Stewart's Draft, an Assemblies of God church. Now, the Assemblies of God are affiliated with the Pentecostal movement. On the way out there, he asked me, Mike, do you speak in tongues? At which I again responded, no, I don't. And he said, when we get out there, I'll take you to the altar and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'll be able to speak in tongues. Well, I still went, regardless of the fact that he said that, and was rather entertained by this service that I went to. In the middle of that service, the pastor spoke, and now let us all go to God in prayer. At which time, total chaos and pandemonium broke out in that sanctuary. People were standing everywhere. This one guy was over in the corner, he was doing this, and they were all speaking in tongues, and this one woman had I call it a babushka, I don't know what it was, but she was waving this thing and running back and forth across the front of the sanctuary. And I said, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? And I can't get out of here because I'm riding with my neighbor. But when the tongue speaking and the prayer time was over, there was silence. And then there was an interpretation by, of all people, the pastor's wife. Now, the first thing that entered my mind was, A, whose tongue was she listening to so she knows which one to interpret? And then number two, what is she going to say? And she said this, God has revealed to me the interpretation of what is being said, and that this church needs to give more financially so we can do the work of God. How convenient. Reason number 14. A university professor was speaking with a modern-day tongue speaker. This was just a few years ago. The professor told the man that he spoke in tongues but could not interpret what he was saying. So the professor asked the man if he could interpret the tongues that he was speaking. And the man answered, yes, I can do this. So the professor began to speak in tongues. When he had finished, he asked the man what it was that he had said because he didn't know. The interpreter told the professor that it was a prophetic revelation of how that this professor would be changing universities and become a very influential person at his new, at the new university, and he would be at the top of the administration. And the professor looked at the man, he said, that's something, because what I just said was the Lord's Prayer in Greek. Reason number 15, a man by the name of John Crowder. Don't even waste your time looking this guy up on YouTube. John Crowder, he speaks at quote-unquote Christian conventions. Everyone that's within the movement that supports a private prayer language would say this, that the words that they speak are of an unknown language, 1 Corinthians 14:2, and they are unintelligible to the speaker. John Crowder also speaks in tongues. But when John Crowder speaks in tongues, he oinks like a pig. I suppose that falls into the category of unknown and unintelligible. Reason number 16. If I am going to pray to God, I prefer to use English. I understand what I am saying. You understand what I am saying. And God understands English. And up until now, it has worked every time. These last three reasons that I give, I will try my best to hold my composure here in front of you. Those who support this speaking in tongues as a private prayer language will say that they pray this way because Satan cannot understand these tongues and therefore cannot interfere with what is being said. The kidsinministry.org website, which supports this, says this, and I quote, if Satan could understand what God was saying, why would God open his big mouth and reveal his plans to the enemy? He'd be better off not praying through us at all. What is the point of praying in tongues if we can't understand what God is saying, but the devil can? That would be very creepy, end quote. Now, I kind of reflected on this for a while, and let me tell you what's creepy, okay? Here's what's creepy. What's creepy is there are those people out there that give Satan this much power, this much influence, and this much control. Because when a person gives Satan this much power, this much influence, and this much control, that means that they diminish the power of the God that they claim that they serve and his sovereignty. Remember, God is sovereign. Satan is not. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Amen. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't care what Satan hears me say. Because I know that the God that I serve is so much more powerful than him, because I read the last book of the Bible, and Satan loses. Amen. Quit giving Satan so much power. It's almost as if in this corner we have Satan, and over here we have God, and at the ring of the bell, go fight. I guarantee you he's going to win that one each and every time. And the only time Satan wins is when we allow him to. Reason number 18. In the instructions on how to speak in tongues on most of these video websites and on the internet, it says that I must first empty and disengage my mind because I need to allow the Spirit to speak through me. Empty and disengage my mind? Beech Grove, the last thing a Christian wants to do is empty their mind so anything and everything can find its way in and make itself at home. Does anybody realize how dangerous it is to empty one's mind and not be filled with the mind of Christ? Jesus says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's pretty difficult to do, my friends, when your mind is empty and it is disengaged. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds need to be renewed. They don't need to be emptied and disengaged. 1 Peter 4:7. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Be of what kind of mind? Sober mind. Personally, I prefer to be in control of my mind and what it's doing at all times. Reason number 19. I knew we'd get there sooner or later. If I am going to use my spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, it will never be for the sole purpose of edifying me. Love is not self-seeking. I will always use my spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, to edify you and to edify the body of Christ. But many will say, Mike, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 clearly states that those who speak in tongues edify themselves. So in their defense, I will read that verse. And it says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. But we covered this last week. People who read that verse totally take that verse totally out of context. Verse 4 is not a statement of praise or affirmation. Remember, the whole thing about spiritual gifts ranges from verse number 1 of chapter 12 to verse number 30 of 1 Corinthians 14. We got to take that whole concept and idea together. So if it's not a verse of praise or affirmation, what is it? It is a rebuke. He's telling the people, you're edifying yourself. We don't edify ourselves. We edify who? Each other. We edify the body. Unfortunately, the Bible does not give us inflection when we read this. So very simply, if I was to read that verse, I see where our charismatic friends are coming from. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself. My friends, that's not an encouragement. It's a rebuke. He's saying, quit doing it throughout the rest of the chapter. Quit doing it. Edify the body. It's not about edifying you. It's about edifying who? Others. And that's why I'll use my spiritual gifts to make us stronger, to make you stronger. Please use your gifts to edify me so I can be stronger. Well, those are my 19 reasons why I do not believe in modern day tongue speaking or in a private prayer language. But I must say this. Please listen. If people do buy into this and feel it is comforting to them in some way, then that is their decision. I don't doubt their salvation, and whatever they practice alone is up to them. I just simply disagree. I have been a Christian since 1994. I have received the greatest blessing from God that one could ever receive the day that he decided to give me the gift of eternal life. I have always known that Jesus will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. I have always felt the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in my life as he encourages me, as he convicts me. And I have done all of this for 22 years without ever speaking one word in a tongue. I have had countless prayers answered for myself, for my family, and for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have the overwhelming assurance of my salvation and that I am sealed and baptized in the Holy Spirit with an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Greg, that's what you read this morning. I know I serve a sovereign God who has ordained the end from the beginning, who has counted every hair on my head, and praise the Lord, has forgiven me of my sins as far as the east is from the west. I know that he who is within me is greater than he who is within the world. I trust the promises of this book. I don't need any more than that. I walk by faith and not by sight. If I am missing something by not speaking in tongues or in a private prayer language, then I have no idea what that might be, nor do I care what that might be, because I have everything that a wretch like me could ever ask for. Because I was lost, and now I am found. I was poor, and now I am rich. And I was blind, but now I can see. Let's go to God in prayer.